I'm Doug Nadvornik. Today on the Inland Journal podcast, we check in with one University of Washington medical student in Spokane who will soon graduate and become a doctor.
So I'm Mara Hazeltine. I'm originally from Spokane. I grew up in the Green Bluff area. I'm a little more rural, fun place to grow up. I decided to go away for undergrad. I went to UW in Seattle, learned a lot about diversity there, was a resident advisor, was really involved in student government, and I became passionate there about social determinants of health. And so before going to medical school, I took a diversion and I joined Teach for America. So I taught middle school math for a couple years in Colorado Springs. It's one of the most amazing things I've ever done in my life. Super important work. But I realized through teaching that health is really the foundation of being able to attain your goals. I would have kids come to school sick for weeks on end with broken bones. Their families feared deportation if they came into clinic. And so I really felt like medicine was calling me.
So Hazeltine applied and was accepted into the University of Washington's medical school. She chose to study in Spokane, where her family and her husband's family still live.
So as you went through medical school, when was it you decided you wanted to be a family doctor?
Oh, man. I think I knew I wanted to go into family medicine going into medical school, but I kept an open mind. And when I started on my clerkships, I really told myself that I would imagine myself as that sort of specialist, and I would be that sort of person for 6 weeks. And I ended up loving every single rotation, which I think is common for family medicine docs. I also had a lot of really great mentors my first few years who were family doctors. And I think the special thing about family medicine is that they really look holistically at a patient. They see the big picture. They understand if a person doesn't have access to food or housing, that they face more medical issues. And so I think those social parts of it are common and important to family docs. And that was inspiring for me, and I continued on that path.
And as she did, she started to make plans for becoming a family physician after her graduation this spring. Now, the medical system is a little different than many other industries in that students can't just graduate and then go out to take a job any old place as a doctor. They're officially MDs or medical doctors, but they have to serve an apprenticeship first before they can hang up their shingle and open their own practices. That apprenticeship, or residency program as it's known, lasts anywhere from 3 to 7 years, depending on how involved the specialty is. Family docs serve 3-year residencies. And the process for choosing an employer and an employee is different, too.
I like to describe it as a dating service. It's a system where the applicants are basically in charge of their list. So they decide who they would like to be a resident for the next 4 years, and they put it in order. So if you're applying, like me, to 11 residencies, you would put in order 1 through 11, which ones you would prefer to go to. And then all of the residencies in the country also rank all of the students that they've interviewed, or they don't rank them if they don't want them to come to their residency. So they would put students in the order that they would take them. And then it goes into a computer system, and it makes a match.
March 15th, give or take a day or two, is the day when medical students nationwide find out the results of those matches. Many schools sponsor match parties and let cameras in to record the blessed day. Here's a moment from a Stanford University match day event.
This clock is precise. You cannot open that envelope until this countdown gets to zero. So remember that. When you get the envelope, you're tempted to, you know, look, you know, try to look inside. You cannot look at that envelope until 9 a.m., which is when this countdown gets to zero. Okay, everyone, if you wouldn't mind going to a calm spot.
We are at 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Mara Hazeltine is one of 5 UW medical students from Washington and 2 from Idaho who matched with Spokane hospitals. She's a textbook example of why Spokane community leaders sought to have medical education here. They wanted local students to have the opportunity to study medicine here and then stay here to practice.
So what was it like for you that day you all got together, and this is kind of the day that you're going to find out what's my future going to be for at least the next 4 years or so?
There's a lot of excitement. I wasn't expecting very many people to be there because people go away on rotations and very few students stick around Spokane for their fourth year, actually. So I only expected a few students to be there and their families. But half of the room were faculty and members of the community who had really brought us up as medical students, which was so exciting to see the people who were there for us in our first few years. And in my case, my family was hoping that I'd stay in Spokane. So when I opened it and said Spokane, they all kind of stood up and cheered and were really excited.
So did you have a lot of anxiety with when you were opening that letter?
A little bit. You just never know. I think I had a good feeling about it. And my husband came with me on the interview trail as well. And he had a good feeling, but he said when he was walking into the room, he got really nervous. He didn't want to move away anymore, and he realized just how much he loved being in this community as well. So I think he was a little more nervous than me, but it worked out.
So when do you start? What's the mechanics of becoming a resident?
I start in June, and I think it starts with kind of like a crash course or a boot camp where they introduce you to the hospital system, all of how you chart, everything like that. You meet all of your team and just kind of get used to everything, and then you start after 4 weeks on your typical rotations.
Oh, we're just thrilled that she matched here.
Dr. Daryl Podick is the chief of medical education for the University of Washington Gonzaga Health Partnership.
To watch Mara go from a beginning medical student to someone who was so well respected in her class, who was president of the Medical Student Association. Mara has gotten awards all along the way here. So to see someone like Mara, who's homegrown, who's going to stay in our community, is just so gratifying. And knowing that she's going to not only grow into a great physician, but she will also, in the process, strengthen the residency programs. She will strengthen our community in the long run.
Podick says demand among students for the UW's Spokane program is growing.
You know, we're working hard to increase our clinical capacity so we can keep those students here, both in terms of our clerkships within the medical school, but then also the big push is also with graduate medical education, making sure we have enough slots for people to stay here in Eastern Washington.
Graduate medical education is the term for the residency programs, like the one Mara Hazeltine will begin in June.
So, Daryl, you talked about making sure there are enough slots that are open. Do you, as you look into the future, do you think there's going to be more and more slots for, psychiatrists and family medicine docs and the others here?
Well, you know, as you know, I've been involved in medical education here for a long time, both with the residency programs and with the medical schools. And a big push is now to ensure that we have enough graduate medical education for the increasing number of students across the country to not only match into the programs they need to and want to, but also to do it here in Spokane. And there's work underway right now to increase the number of residencies. There's talk about a pediatric residency, a second family medicine residency. There's talk about surgery residencies all here in Spokane. And those are all in the very early stages, so we don't want to get ahead of ourselves in a very complex process. But it gives us all a lot of hope and gratification to know we're going to have an impact on our region.
The federal government pays for most of the medical residency programs in the U.S. But in 1997, as part of a congressional effort to control the budget deficit, the government determined it would not allow existing residency programs at existing hospitals to expand. And so, in essence, the nation funds more or less the same number of residency programs it did 22 years ago. Hospital systems and universities are looking for creative ways to fund new programs.
There's a couple of different ideas. One is that we're utilizing hospitals that haven't been used before, and those hospitals are not capped, so we can expand on those, and we have 5 years to expand residencies in those particular locations. also looking at the VA to bolster our residency programs. And there have been really a changing culture at the VA that's been really welcoming to medical education. They've done a lot of great work out there. And then there's some alternative streams. Some of our residents are funded by another mechanism called HRSA, as opposed to being funded through Medicare. So we're looking at all avenues to do that. And then of course, there is talk about private funding of medical residencies, although that's a really tough nut in realizing how much money it really takes to do that. But suffice it to say, we're looking at all avenues. We're working with the local chamber, with GSI, talking about how we can advocate both on the state and federal level to make some of these changes to allow graduate medical education to grow. We're facing a point in time here within the next few years where the country will probably graduate more medical students than we have slots for. And that's really a crisis. We don't want people graduating from medical school and not being able to pursue the career not only that they want to and have invested in, but that we need as a country. So we're really looking forward and trying to address that big picture concern as well.
The problem is that, like Dr. Podick was saying, you have lots of medical students, medical schools opening, but by the time they graduate, are there enough slots for them to go to residency? Because your training is not finished until you get through residency. So I tell people that your medical degree is good for just about nothing. Like, I can go be a barista now. That'd be a really expensive education to go be a barista. You really need to go through residency in order to be a doctor. And so Senate Bill 348 is called the Resident Physician Shortage Reduction Act of 2019. It's a bipartisan bill, and it was introduced into the Senate this February. So it would amend the Balanced Budget Act of 1997, like you were saying, which capped the number of residents. And it will increase the residency spots by 3,000 each year, half of which would be used for full-time residents in shortage areas. And so if you really want to make a difference for the shortages that we have, especially in Eastern Washington, contact your senator. And so that would be Patty Murray or Maria Cantwell. In Washington state.
We need to expand, and we need to be able to expand our caps. My hope is that this bill will do it, but if it doesn't, we have to keep on pounding away. The fact that we're capped at 1997 levels for residents, and everybody's talking about a shortage of residents, it just doesn't make sense. And so it's great that it's getting more national attention, and I'm hopeful that if this bill doesn't pass, something in the near future will. But something's got to change.
Dr. Daryl Podick is the Chief of Medical Education for the University of Washington Gonzaga Health Partnership. Mara Hazeltine is a fourth-year medical student who will begin her career as a family medicine physician in June in Spokane. Thursday on the Inland Journal podcast, giving prison inmates more educational options so they can succeed after they're released. We'll talk with the head of the Community Colleges of Spokane Inmate Education Program at the State Prison at Airway Heights. To find and subscribe to the Inland Journal podcast, search for Inland Journal in iTunes, NPR One, or Google Play, or find it on the Inland Journal page at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Send your comments to inlandjournal@kpbx.org or call our listener comment line at 509-232-6904. Thank you for subscribing to the podcast. I'm Doug Nadvornik.